Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Reflect, diving a little deeper. In the last session, we discussed the wudu and how water was used to purify different parts of the body and soul. In this session, we want to open up and reveal some of the secrets of the ritual of the ghusl. The ghusl, like the wudu, is a form of ceremonial washing, which comprises the washing of the whole head and neck surface area, followed by washing the surface area of the right side of the body, followed by washing the left side of the body. In contrast to the wudu, here we observe a more thorough and comprehensive washing. Why? What's different with the ghusl? Why must the whole body surface area be included? To understand the inner rationale for such a difference, we must learn of the causes and factors that oblige one to accomplish the ghusl in the first place. And for this, we need to explain the term janaba. Janaba is a major state of spiritual impurity, hadath, physically manifested by copulation and or seminal emission. For women, emission of liquid during climax. Literally, it means being distanced away. Technically, in jurisprudence, the junub, one who's in a state of janaba, is distanced from entering the mosque, is distanced from performing acts of worship and other rituals. In the language of the tariqah, however, janaba means being distanced from Allah, hence it being a state of spiritual impurity. Now, janaba, or inattentiveness to Allah, is caused by love of the dunya, which arises during climax, for example, amongst other things. The junub, therefore, is one who esoterically penetrates or is penetrated by the dunya, has an affinity with it, is exploited by it, abused by it, and so on. There's a gross infatuation with the dunya, and as a result of this overwhelming predomination with the dunya, the degree and extent of compensation is more, hence the washing of the whole body compared to the partial washing and wipes involved in the wudu. You may not be afflicted with the sharia-defined janaba, but at the same time be a junub tariqa-wise. Love of Allah and love of the dunya are two contradictories. They can't assemble in one place. That's why in chapter 33, verse 4, it reads, Allah has not assigned two hearts inside man. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. One prophetic hadith reads, the dunya is haram for the people of the hereafter. The hereafter aren't predominated by the dunya. And the hereafter is haram for the people of the dunya. They don't go towards the hereafter. But both are haram for the people of Allah. The people of Allah commit actions solely for Allah's sake, irrespective of the result and outcome. Others commit actions for the reward, not solely for Allah. Others commit actions to flee punishment. The latter two are using Allah as a means to something else. And this is concealed shirk, something most believers are afflicted with. As chapter 12, verse 106 reads, and most believers in Allah are mushrik. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. They are believers, but are contaminated with concealed shirk, where Allah is being associated and compromised with. Allah is being used as a means. Beware. Traditions describe the love of the dunya and love for Allah like that of the East and West. That is, the closer one approaches one of them, the farther one becomes from the other. So washing and purifying oneself as a junub entails eliminating traces of the dunya inside, to the extent that not a single affinity and dependency towards it remains. Hence in the Sharia, it instructs that all hair must be washed too in the ghusl, otherwise it won't be deemed sound. In the ceremonial ghusl, one commences with the physical washing of the head and neck. The true head is the heart, and we're esoterically cleansing it from inner spiritual impurities. Wash it with water, which is knowledge, tariqa-wise, cleansing the different whims of the soul and the scattered doctrine that results out of a love of the dunya. Allowing one's doctrinal articles of faith to be compromised and deviated and often irrationally twisted is but a consequence of one's gross infatuation with the dunya. And then they interpret Tawheed in a particular manner. They speak about prophethood in another manner, which seems odd, irrational. They may speak about resurrection in a controversial manner. This is buttressed by verses such as chapter 45, verse 23. Have you not seen one who's assigned their whims as their God? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى. Then wash the right-hand side of the body. Esoterically, the right is associated with the spiritual and hereafter reality, such as heaven and heavenly rewards. Wash yourself from attributing such deeds to yourself as if you own them. Commit the right actions for Allah's sake alone, but don't attribute it to yourself. In some traditions, Allah says that bury your sins underground, but bury your good deeds under your sins. Once you start attributing your good deeds to yourself, it's the beginning of ujub and self-conceitedness and one's spiritual downfall. Then wash the left side of the body. The left, esoterically, is associated with the dunya. In reality, you're washing and cleansing yourself by means of abandoning the dunya. Okay, let's end with three or four miscellaneous points. First, recall that as long as one commits the ghusl with sincerity, dedicating it to Allah alone, all these esoteric benefits are to be gained simultaneously, even if one's not aware of them. Why? Well, as we've said manifold times, the exoteric and esoteric dimensions are inseparable. When committing yourself to the dhahir, you're incorporating the batin simultaneously. Second point, it now should become clear why not performing the wudu or ghusl correctly, albeit out of inadvertency, will lead to the nullification of your prayers and other rituals, and the latter therefore need to be compensated. Why? Because the inner batini cleansing has not been actualized, and your succeeding prayers are based on a yet-to-be cleansed soul. Think about it. This was Reflect, Diving a Little Deeper.